You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
The Servais story, from startup to multi-billion rand multinational, is a great case study for private equity and strategic deal making and how to create employment with some 22,000 employees. It's also a story about private equity, which is a long-term game. And that's why it appeals so much to ambitious entrepreneurs who'd rather have an equity partner than be forced to deal with the sometimes fickle nature of bank debt or the volatility of Mr. Market and his friends, the other share market investors. And we see that when he took the fledgling Servais public back in 1998, Kenton Fine was all of 29 years old. He was the youngest CEO of any company listed on the JSE. 4 years and a hostile takeover later, and with the help of African Merchant Bank, he then took the company private again. What then followed was a hugely successful partnership between Servais and its private equity partner, RMB Corvest. Fast forward a few years, and we see the landscape shifting again thanks to COVID-19 in the facilities management game. And we've also seen many businesses and sectors deeply affected by the COVID-19 pandemic, and mergers and acquisitions haven't been spared, given the dependency of M&A on contact engagements, getting to know the partner on the other side of the table. I think it's fair to say it's made doing deals and closing deals that much more difficult in this age of doing everything on Zoom and Teams. Now, someone who's been in the trenches is Tami Moache, who's a director for mergers and acquisitions at Servest, and she joins us now just to share what it's been like during this particular period. Good evening, Tami.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Firstly, when we look at the Servais story, just take me through how COVID has impacted Servais over the last 12 months.
I mean, Servais is a services industry, and our work is mostly site-based. So the level 5 lockdown restrictions going to level 3 heavily impacted the business, especially within the sectors where our clients were in retail, by way of example, were in hospitality, like your hotels, and just the industrials, like the office space, people working from home. So we've lost quite a lot of revenue, and we've lost some contracts, as some of the clients have not been able to come back from the effects of the lockdowns. We have seen sell downs coming in into our books, and I think that is felt across the facility management sector. So really, activity has been slowed down during that time. And I think as we have moved to level 1, we have started to see now clients coming back into the market with new contracts or tenders that had been deferred being brought back into the market.
That was going to be my next question. What you're now seeing as the country reopens again, and what impact this is having on facilities management. We had the president last night saying that we're effectively doubling the amount of people that can be indoors over the Easter period, which I think was an interesting decision. But to the point on mergers and acquisitions, how important is M&A in the facilities management sector? I can imagine that it's quite fragmented, so there's lots of opportunity for consolidation. Yeah.
Those are starting to come through. You see services like catering, for example, where you've had your business and industry affected. Those companies have been heavily affected, which means suddenly you have companies that are distressed that are coming in at discounts. So there's opportunities there for consolidation. There's also opportunities to provide more remote value-add opportunities to clients, and by that I mean technology-based services where you have, for example, CCTV monitoring instead of a guard on site to just reduce interaction with the client, but to still ensure that the client gets the kind of service that it has needed. So those are some of the opportunities we have seen coming in. Other services that have come in and that were there probably before even the lockdown, COVID-19, were around the hard services. So Internet of Things, where we provide solutions that would automate some of what we give to clients. So all of that has been some of the opportunities that we've been looking at, and in cleaning solutions, so hygiene has been heightened by COVID-19. There's a lot of opportunities there as well.
And taking all of this into account, has it severely impacted your growth strategy? Have you had to go back to the drawing board and effectively recraft and redraw your strategy through this period?
In parts, the strategy has been affected. The growth strategy has been impacted mostly. I mean, when Service brought me in to do M&A, it was to enhance the inorganic growth of the business. Now, finding ourselves in a situation where we couldn't execute or go out, for example, into the continent to do these deals, or probably where we've also had to relook our priorities just in terms of cash preservation and positive cash flows, you find that now we've slowed down where we've had to accelerate. Now we can't. So it's almost now we have to rethink, or we've had to rethink some of our strategies that were in place pre-COVID.
And with that, I'm sure it's also quite challenging to execute on transactions in an environment such as this. Certainly must have been last year when most of the country was locked down. What were some of the challenges when you were brought in to find this inorganic growth and the opportunities? But what have you learnt through this period around M&A?
So we've learned that you can actually do a due diligence virtually, as difficult as that has been. Traditionally, you want to be on site, you want to see the files, you want to meet the management, and now everything is happening virtually, where you actually have your data room, which is virtual, where you have your meetings with the target company on a Zoom or a Teams. So we've had to learn to be agile and adjust, and as you would know, with M&A, you work with different service providers, some of which are also working virtually. So one has had to learn to be a strong project manager in ensuring that the effective dates of transactions are met. The other challenges we've seen is that because the market's changed, the valuations have been impacted a lot. Multiples that were a norm pre-COVID right now are premium, because in the short term, all of us are not really sure about the speed of the vaccines, by way of example, and how the economies will fully come back such that we can go back to what we would call our old normal.
And that, I mean, it's such an important point. I was actually on a briefing call with Business for South Africa today, earlier on, talking about the vaccine rollout strategy and the work that B4SA is doing in trying to assist government here. And again, just a sense on one level of trying to assist and second skills where they can and having this frank and open dialogue with government. But on another level, not seeing the kind of senior leadership involved in some of those meetings to give effect to decisions that need to be made at either a DG or higher level. When you think of the impact of vaccines and the rollout of vaccinations on our economic recovery, it's got to be the most important number one issue in South Africa at the moment.
It is. I mean, when you read the Economist intelligence unit predicted that South Africa would probably be fully vaccinated in the 2022 to 2023 financial years, and even there, it won't be a full vaccination program. South Africa this year is projected to grow, or its GDP to grow probably to about 3.6, according to the economics forecast. Now, that 3.6 comes from a very low base, and you see that impact in the next year's forecast, where it's below your 3% probably for the next 2 years. Now, the acceleration of the vaccination, the education becomes key in ensuring that the economy is able to come back and we are able to open our borders and stimulate economic activity across.
Are you looking for growth or expansion opportunities outside of South Africa, considering the current environment and the picture that you're painting? What are those opportunities that you see, either in South Africa or outside of Africa?
So our strategy, let me start there, is focused on South Africa and the rest of the continent. And in as much as South Africa was affected by the restriction, I think it was in the continent, it was the most affected. Areas like your Ghana had lockdowns, but their lockdowns were not as heavy potentially as ours. And Ghana is one of the countries that is a partner to us where we have activity, and it's where we are looking to grow our facilities management activities. Right now, we do specific service offering, and we want to expand that into an integrated model. So West Africa and part of East Africa, where there's new projects that are starting to be announced, that are starting to come on stream, are where we are focusing to grow in through partnerships and probably some strategic collaborations.
Tami Moache, Director of Mergers and Acquisitions at Servest, talking about the lessons that she's learned through the pandemic and where Servest is looking for growth in the current environment.